fervent prayer God really hears. That was probably pretty fervent for Judy. She's wanting that music cut on. I'd be the same way. I want to share a word before we get in our message, which I had shared on Wednesday night. I'm not sure I did on Sunday. We've had a ministry opportunity with one of the elementary schools in the area. And you guys have been taking up gift cards for Food City and Walmart. And I had the opportunity before Christmas to go and discovered that through the generosity of God's people here, we'd taken up $925 worth of gift cards. And I don't know everything, so I'm counting at 1,000 probably by the said and done. Just a great way at Christmas time to show the love of Christ. And I wanted to give God the glory to that. It talks about in the scriptures that the amen is given to him by us. And so it's a way for us just to say amen, Jesus, through the loving kindness that you showed to them. And the principal, he was so excited. And we're not the only church that helped. We're helping staff there that single moms that make $10,000 or less a year. And they didn't have any income, when they're not working at school. So just a small way to show the love of Christ. So just want to give God the glory. And I'm grateful for you guys being willing to be hands and feet there. So let's get to our text. Book of Romans. And I was trying to think of a message for, this is New Year. It's just around the corner, a new year. So what should be a goal or what should be a heartbeat for us for a new year? And essentially what came to my mind was magnifying our majesty, the majesty God himself. And so that's what this particular message is about. And we're going to look, it's Romans 15, 17 through 19. And I'm going to ask when you find the text, if you will stand in our great God's honor as I read aloud. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. Let's pray. God, we are here because of you, Lord. Because you are a God who chased us down. As one author put it, you are the hound of heaven in pursuit of us. We rebelled, stepped away from you, God, and you pursued. How awesome, Lord, the gospel is. And I pray today as we continue to worship you, as we continue to give you the attention and the praise that you deserve, that the Spirit of God would continue to move among us. And Lord, we just want to see Jesus. And so I just pray that happens. Lord, continue to work in our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen. 1984, Chan Gailey was in his second year as the coach of a college in Alabama. He was the football coach of Troy State. It so happened that in his second year, they were set up a week later to play in the championship game of Division II. He had a record of 12-1, and he was focused. Secretary said, Coach Gailey, you have a phone call. He said, I'm too focused right now for a phone call, but sir, it's Sports Illustrated. He thought, oh, Sports Illustrated calling me. Man, I could give him a face shot or maybe an action shot. Or, man, this could be big things for Troy State. This could be the start of something fantastic. So all these things went through his mind of what was going to happen. And so I got to take that phone call. So he rushes back to the phone. He picks up the phone. And he says, hello? Is this Chan Gailey? Yes, it is, he said with a measure of pride. This is Sports Illustrated, and we're calling to let you know your subscription is running out. Do you want to renew? Jen Gailey went on to say, man, life is tough. You're either humble or you are humbled by life. So with us. You know, so often we're like in 3 John, a guy called Diotrephes, 3 John 1:9, and it says about him that he loves to be first. That is the spirit that so often is in charge of our lives. I want to be first. I want to be noticed. I want the attention. You know, someone has said that the greatest word is my name. We love to hear our name, our own name. On the other side of it was John the Baptist, who said in John 3, verse 30, he must increase, I must decrease. The picture here is that we're to be a people who, we don't come to church so that we might increase, so that we might become more somebody. But we come to church so He may increase, so that our lives may give Him the attention and the glory that He alone deserves. It's interesting, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, God is describing Himself as Creator and how there's no place big enough, really, to hold Him for worship. He says in verse 2, the Lord says, this is the one I esteem. In other words, this is the one on whom my favor is. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. In other words, it doesn't always have to be about me. Be humble. Be contrite in spirit. In other words, it's okay to be broken. Don't think you always have to be at the top. God has a purpose for the valley. And we need to be a people who trembles at His Word. We don't need to be a people, oh yeah, I've heard that all my life. I've heard that verse over and over. I've read it 64 times. No, we tremble at His Word. There is a fervor for God. There is a desire for God that is so critical. In Exodus 33:18, Moses, he's preparing to see the Lord, to face to face, or actually you end up seeing the back of His head, but anyway, he said to God, show me Your glory, God. Show me Your glory. I want to see You, God. And so it should be for the child of God. Growing means, man, I want to see Christ. I want the glory of Christ to be beheld. In John chapter 1, verse 14, we're told, we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came to us from the Father, full of grace and truth. Evidently, that same heart was part of the heartbeat of Paul. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as Your servants for His sake. He said, I'm not here to put the focus on anyone but Jesus Christ, because He is the one who has forgiven my sins. He's the one who died on a cross for me. He's the one who is my hope. He is the one who is my Lord. He is the one who is my Savior. And the way I show Him I love Him is to serve you for His sake. It's not just for you. It's for His sake. Why? Because He's awesome. And I my intention is to magnify Him. Of course, last week we looked at the Christmas story, and remember when the angel came to give the announcement, it said that the glory of the Lord shone around him. You know, there's a mention in Scripture of a place called Ichabod, one of the most tragic sections of Scripture, because the word Ichabod means the glory of the Lord has departed. And so the picture is, do we want to see Christ? Do we want His glory to be evident among us? Or is Ichabod okay? Do we just want to gather and talk and sing, but there not be the glory of God? What a question. Do we want to go through the motions, or do we want to see the Master? That is the ultimate part of the message. It tells us in Revelation 21:23 that the light, the light there is from the Lamb of God and His glory. You see, the glory of the Lord will shine there. It won't be a street like what we have on our streets. It'll just be the very glory of Jesus Christ. He is so glorious that there will be no darkness. There will be illumination, total illumination, because of His glory. We will see that one day. Raymond Lull, missionary to the Muslims years ago, he often said his lifelong refrain, his one passion, it is He, it is He, it is He. That's the passion. That's the heart. And so now, coming to this outline, now our section of Scripture here. Delighted in elevating the person of Christ, notice first Paul's delight. Look here, and got my Bible upside down. Better turn it around. I may be accused of dyslexic, but I don't know what that's called, upside down. Okay, he starts out in the text here, and he says, therefore I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. You see, the truth is, I can't glory in me and Jesus at the same time. There's only room for one. And so the call here for this new year is to ask the question, God, will this bring You glory? Is my life bringing You glory? Am I Your servant? Is it for Your sake, Lord? And are You the name off my lips? See, so often, we're like the little boy who was in a baseball game and he came up to the plate. I don't have good form, so I shouldn't do that. And he swung with... He swung the bat, and made contact. Well, just barely made contact with the ball, and it just kind of spurted out a few feet. And he took off running as hard as he could. And the pitcher got to the ball, and he threw it over the head of the first baseman, so he just kept going. And then finally the first baseman got to the ball, and he tried to throw it to second, but it ended up in left field, and he just kept going. And so then the guy out in left field, he managed to try to get it to third. But by then it was too late, and the cutoff man, he tried to throw it to home, and he just runs as hard as he can, and he passes home plate, and then the ball manages to roll over, and he says, that's the first home run of my life that I made. Man, this is not about your little hit. And how often are our testimonies like that? Let me tell you about what I've done for God. No. What we are able to do is because of Him. He is the one who deserves the praise. He is the one who deserves the attention. Paul said, and he wrote to the church at Galatia, Galatians 6:14, may I never boast except in the cross of Christ through which I have been crucified and the world has been crucified to me. That was Paul's heart, man. It was to give the glory to Christ. All right, next one. He declined the pedestal of human praise. Look at verse 18. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done. God was using Paul in a mighty fashion, but he was careful to understand this is God, it's not Paul. It is not me. I mean, God can use an old rock. You know, even the rocks, they're going to cry out if I refuse to offer Him praise. And Paul was saying, I don't want to be the one who is elevated. if Time magazine was, you know, able to say greatest missionary of all time, there'd be Paul's picture on the cover of the magazine. Matter of fact, it said there's over 100 books that have contained the phrase that changed the world. And here are some of those. Gunpowder, the history of the explosive that changed the world. El Nino, the weather phenomenon that changed the world. The Pill, a biography of the drug that changed the world. Mauve, how one man invented a color that changed the world. The Twist, the song and dance that changed the world. Right? Okay, enough of that. Cod, a biography of the fish that changed the world. Model T Ford, the car that changed the world. Hey, the more visible you are, the more of a celebrity you become, the more the legend grows. You know, it's funny. I was thinking today, actually I went on YouTube just to make sure my memory wasn't deceiving me. One of the shows, when C and I first got married, we'd watch this old show. I also watched it when I was a kid. It was Daniel Boone with Fess Parker. Man, I used to love Daniel Boone with Fess Parker. I don't know if you know. I know it probably is really slow now because all these old shows are. But what I remembered, I had to go back. Look, at the start of the show, it'd show him and he's out setting his traps and stuff. And then he takes his axe and he throws it. Man, he throws it at this tree and he hits the tree and it just splits from top to bottom. Falls over. I thought, no way. That's a legend. That didn't really happen. But that's what happens when someone becomes so great. Stories begin to be a part of the talk. It's said the leader of North Korea, there's so much propaganda in North Korea, you've probably heard some of these stories, that he has an incredible memory and he can remember the phone number of every government worker and all the security code numbers that are put in place for safety in the government. It's said of him that in his busy schedule, he has time to compose entire operas and produce movies. But here's the one where maybe they stretched it just a little too far. The first time he ever played golf, he had 11 hole-in-ones. About that, Grayson. To elevate oneself. But see, the goal of the Christian, it's not to elevate me, it's to elevate thee. It is to bring glory to Him. And here's why Paul wrote this, 2 Corinthians 12. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I will delight in weaknesses and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. It's interesting as you read through Paul's letters. 1 Corinthians 15:9, he referred to himself as the very least of the apostles. Then Ephesians 3:8, he called himself the very least of all the saints. And then in 1 Timothy 1:15, he said, I am the worst of all sinners. Man, what happened? The more he looked at himself, the more he said, I need a Savior. The more he looked at his condition, the more he realized God deserved the praise. Because every blessing is from God, not from him. Donald Gray Barnhouse summarized what Paul could have glorified in. He could have glorified in the fact that he would walk into a city that was pagan, had no room for God, and walk out and revival hit. The word of God was taken hold of and lives were changed because God showed up. And he could have gloried in all that stuff. He could have talked about what a wonderful missionary he was, but he didn't. Just like the paintbrush doesn't spout off how great it is in regard to a beautiful masterpiece of painting. Just like the violin doesn't take the praise for a great piece played by a wonderful musician, by the artist himself. Why? Because I know that that's not where the praise goes. Back in England a few years ago, there was a praise band that word got out how talented they were. People came to the church and they wanted to hear the worship and the praise. But after a time, the pastor approached the praise band and he said, you know, you guys are missing the whole point. You want the crowds to come and hear you play and sing. And that's not why we're here. Well, the guys got upset and everybody left but one guy. Said, can't believe the preacher talked to me like that. And they headed out the door, but this one guy stayed. And God began to bless him. And a song that we've sung here a few times, here are a few words from it, he wrote, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and Lord, it's all about you. Amen. Thirdly, Paul directed the spotlight on the Holy Spirit. Look here in verse 19. By the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit. It was about the Spirit of God. It wasn't about the apostle. You know, like Zechariah 4:6 says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Or the call for us, you know, in Galatians 5:16, it says to live and walk habitually in the Spirit of God, responsive to and controlled and guided by the Spirit of God, so that you will not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh of human nature without God. That's from the Amplified Bible. The point is, it's not something you do occasionally. It's to mark us every day. We're to seek to live moment by moment, being filled with the Spirit of God, being tender to His call and His voice and His heart, and being willing to be humble and contrite and tremble at His Word. And that's what He desires from us. Signs and wonders in 2 Corinthians 12:12. It said that what marked a true apostle was evidence of these signs and miracles. The signs and miracles were completed, and it pointed to the fact that Jesus is the Messiah. He is the one. But now we are in a new age where the ultimate focus, not that God still doesn't do some miracles and signs and wonders, but the focus now is not that foundation. That was laid to give authenticity to the apostles, those signs and wonders that we read about. But now it has come to the Word of God. Is the Word of God spoken? Is the Word of God followed? Is the Word of God loved? The longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, it's all about the Word. It's about God and His Word, what He has to say. And will that be followed? 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed or God-inspired. Man, it's able to correct, to rebuke us. It's able to guide us toward God, to turn us His direction. Why? So that the servant of God may be equipped to do every good work. You say, man, I just want them to know I'm a Christian. Get in the Word. But more than that, let the Word get in you by the Spirit of God that He'll work. You see, the verifying seal and sign of God's approval on a believer is their association with the Word of God. Someone once said to Donald Barnhouse, it was not fair that we could no longer turn water into wine anymore or do miracles of that nature. Barnhouse responded, he said, I've seen an even greater miracle than that. I've seen an alcoholic father of a newborn little girl give his heart to Jesus, and by the power of the gospel, we saw whiskey turned into milk. Imagine Paul at a testimony time. One of those times, you know, those are good. We got to do some of that soon. We got to hear what God's doing among you guys. I love testimony time. Anyway, can you just see Paul at testimony time? You have a testimony, Paul? Yeah. Let me tell you. I was in Lystra, and there was this man. He'd been crippled from birth, and he was listening me preach about Jesus. And God just told me, he said, Paul, just tell him to walk. So I looked at him, I said, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. You know what happened? That rascal got up and walked. Can you see it? In here praising God. Yeah, yeah. Anybody else got a testimony? Here's Paul. Yeah. Paul, you got another one? You're kidding me. You got another testimony to share? He said, oh yeah, have I got another testimony. He said, I was in Philippi, and there was this girl, and she was possessed by a demon. And she just kept following me around. Be honest with you, she was annoying. She just kept rattling on and on and on. And finally, I'd had enough. So I turned to her and I said, in the name of Jesus, demon, come out of her. You know what happened? The demon came out of her. Man, we're talking hallelujah again. Everybody's praising. Everybody's singing, giving to God the glory. And I said, any other testimonies? Anybody got a testimony? Here's Paul. Is this going to go on all night? Paul said, well, let me tell you about the time this guy, he died. I called out to Jesus, and he had raised life. Whew. You know what? I'm not saying that didn't happen. But that's not how Paul rolled. When Paul spoke, it wasn't about, let me tell you how God's using Paul. You know what he said? Just like he said in this text here in verse 19. He said, it was through the power of the Spirit of God. He said, man, it was about being properly connected to God through the Holy Spirit. That was the ultimate key. He highlighted the Spirit. As I close, I read a story about a well-known preacher. There was a seminary student. He was going to speak at a seminary. A seminary student was picking him up, and he was just thrilled to death because this guy was like his hero, you know. He was just gushing all over himself as he sat in the car talking to this guy, and, you know, talking about how wonderful he was and how he had listened to so many of his sermons and read so many of his books. And whew, he was just trying to, you know, impress this guy. Finally, the guy looked at him, and he said, son, I grew up on a farm. He said, I had to walk to school every day, and I'd walk by this pasture, and there was fence around the pasture. About every 10 feet or so, there was a fence post. And, you know, I would typically touch the fence post as I walked by. He said, well, I came up this one fence post, and there was a turtle sitting on top of the fence post. He said, now let me tell you something, son. No turtle can climb a fence post. It is not possible. Somebody had to put that turtle on top of the fence post. He didn't get there by himself. You see, this preacher understood something very important. Yes, God was doing a mighty work through him, but it was not him. He didn't get there by his effort. God chose that. Does God want? What does God want to do in me? What does He want to do in you? You see, God's truth is often displayed through the simple. His strength revealed to the weak. His grace distributed to the needy. His glory magnified when weak, simple, ordinary Christians like us praise Him and refuse the pedestal. To love Him and to redirect praise to Him, to worship Him and to elevate the name of Jesus above any other name. Because it's just this simple, folks. You and I, we are turtles on a fence post. So the question for this year, what place will Jesus play in our lives? Let's pray. God, I love You, Lord, and sometimes I don't act like it, but I guess what matters more is that You love me, Lord. I love that in the gospel prayer we're looking at on Sunday nights. It says, in Christ, no matter what I do, He's not going to love me more. And no matter what I've done, He's not going to love me less. Awesome, God. How can I not give You glory, Lord? And I pray for all of us, God, with an altar that's open. As we look at a new year around the corner, are we a new creation? It tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And Father, may we live new. to the praise and the glory of God. May this group of believers known as Kingsway, may we be a people that, Lord, are not about I have to increase, but Jesus must increase and I can decrease. God, work. Bring us to the altar if we need to come. Bring us forward to make a public decision that needs to be made with you, Lord. Or if there's a decision that needs to be made right where we are, Lord, may that be made. I just want you to get the glory, Lord. And so as we stand and sing, may you receive glory. In Christ's name.